Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Yellowjackets Season 1, hotly anticipating Yellowjackets Season 2. This time it's Episode 7, No Compass. I said that right? No Compass?
Mm-hmm.
Not Compass. It's Compass, right?
Compass.
When you, you know.
I say campus, like Krampus.
Okay, it's okay to just say things wrong.
Let me look at my campus.
Camp ass.
Where's the camp ass leading us? Compass. You're right.
Words are starting to not have meaning.
Speaking of words, I have them to say because it's a podcast. But also, we did some steep research. And by we, many listeners of the show and Madison. And we've discovered, lay it on them. You did some misty level detective work.
I went a little misty this past weekend because I was getting very annoyed that we were struggling to figure out when the series was going to premiere. Mm-hmm. So my first effort was, I'm going to go on Showtime and look at their schedule. Went on Showtime and the schedule was completely, it was so confusing because they were saying on demand it was one time and then Showtime was another. But I was like, what does on demand mean? And so I went on Showtime customer service, talked to somebody there, and they couldn't help me. They were asking me, oh, who do you have Showtime through? I said Hulu, and they're like, well, you have to talk to Hulu. And I was
there's your problem right there.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
I got good news. This is not my problem.
Yes. Woo. Quite literally, I told them it was for, a podcast and, all this. Didn't care. So talked to somebody at Hulu. I had them, told them the scenario of the situation. They're like, yeah, that's really confusing. And so me and this Hulu person just communicatively were confused about the whole scenario. And so finally I called Showtime and said, listen, what is the deal? And they're like, oh, it premieres for Showtime subscribers on Fridays. Then it will be broadcasted on demand on Sunday. So Fridays, everybody. Friday the 24th is when it premieres, and then it will be released every other Friday if you are a Showtime subscriber.
Every consecutive Friday.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So basically the Sunday thing is some like ancient technology that no one's using.
If you're just watching on Dish Network.
If you're watching on basic cable, that is when it'll be on Sundays, which
but like basic Showtime cable. Who does that still?
I don't know.
I paid for my Showtime package.
Retirees that don't know who to call to cancel.
The reason I did is because they threw in Stars and Epic for free for 6 months.
Sure, I'll pay 20 more bucks for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus, I got a phone line half off.
I still get to watch ESPN, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's mm-hmm. mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. that matters. It's all that matters.
Yeah. Like Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else will I masturbate to? Yeah,
without my sports center.
Screw my Pornhub subscription.
Yeah. How am I going to get my cum puss without my sports center? So, Madison, thank you for your staunch detective work. I hope everybody has their fears allayed. But our episodes will drop every Monday following whenever the fuck you watch these Yellow Jackets episodes.
Same schedule. Just,
yeah, give us some extra timesies, if you will. But also, I do want to say, for those of you that have been listening for a long time, maybe even patrons at patreon.com/streamingthings, maybe, I don't know what you do, maybe those people that have been waiting on like the extra coverage of all of the movies that have been in the queue for months. We're not going to be covering two shows simultaneously, so we're going to use season two of the Yellow Jackets to knock into those. We're going to be knocking out a bunch of those Patreon movies. Yeah. I don't even know what they are. I know it's Class Action Park. There's like a Matrix on there.
Train to Busan.
Ooh, I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the old one or the new one?
What?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka, not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. Willy Wonka.
And there's Charlie. Right, you're right.
There is a Timothée Chalamet Willy Wonka.
Oh, that's right.
Coming out this year.
Maybe that one's later in the year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just called Wonka.
Wonka.
You know, because the culture is getting dumber.
You just need one word. That's it.
Wonka.
Well, you know, like Plane. There's all kinds of good movies with one word. That's the only one I can think of at this particular time.
Severance. That was a good show.
Seven,
yeah.
And that one, the V is a 7.
9.
Ooh, and all the numbers.
Yeah, all the numbers have been, you know, 42.
Yeah.
That count?
Oh, yeah. Jackie Robinson movie? Yeah. I like how you went there.
Yeah, does that count as
127 hours? So we're going to be knocking all those out as well. I just wanted to plug that. That's on the horizon. So in addition to an episode of Yellow Jackets coverage for season two, each week we'll be plowing ahead on the backlog of Patreon stuff that we've been. So if you might have even just given up by now, but those are coming.
Yeah. Thank you guys for your patience, because we've been really, really busy and haven't been able to do those, but they're coming. And like we said, the next one I think is Class Action Park. But so we'll do that the same week that season two of Yellow Jackets comes out.
Yeah. And for those of you that are also listening to our Last of Us coverage, the merch store is about to shift. Mm. So it's your last opportunity as you're hearing this. This is a Wednesday, most likely.
Yes.
So you only have like 5 days or so to get your hands on a Tony Time.
It's t-shirt. Tony Time or a Pills, baby. Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. So
get them while they're hot, because at the end of this week, we just burn them all. Whatever we didn't sell, we just burn them all.
And the value of those shirts are going to skyrocket for those that have them, right?
Right.
What do they cost? $25 or so?
A piece.
I wouldn't be shocked if a few weeks from now, because they're no longer in the Streaming Things merch store, if those weren't worth $22, $21.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least they maintain their value, trust me.
Yes.
And if some of the shirts didn't get the designer printed on them, probably worth more.
Yeah, the misprints, the variants, those are astronomical at auctions.
But yeah, this is your last week, so if you really want any of the Last of Us merch, we truly have the last of the merch. Mm-hmm. So go and get it while they're available.
Yeah, the opportunity for puns there is very high. Mm-hmm. As K2SO would say,
it's Tony time to buy.
That's right. Thank you, Tony, for dropping
You're
in.
You're welcome.
For the capitalistic reasons.
Madison still doesn't know who I am.
I'll watch The Last of Us soon, I promise.
She's busy.
I am busy.
Steve, you whipped us up a really nice Yellow Jackets-themed meal, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I did. So, listeners, if you listened last week, a big thing that we got a kick out of was the brunch with Jackie's parents, Shauna and Jeff. And so I felt it was only natural that the Lord of Quiches would provide my fellow co-hosts some quiches. Mm. So I whipped up a couple quiches. Yeah. I even created a dessert, because it was Jackie's birthday and you have to have dessert after the quiches.
Right.
And just in case you were feeling frisky, I had some OJ and some tuna that you could add to your quiche to be really show accurate. I will say none of you partook.
We declined.
We happily declined the tuna. But what
was the dessert you gave us?
It was birthday cake cream pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very delicious.
Yeah.
He gave us two quiches and a cream pie.
Yep.
Which is,
you know, it's been, you know, I've known Chris for 6 years.
At least you quiched me first.
Yeah. I've known you for 6 years and I, you know, it's about time I cream pied you at some point.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
Madison, was that your first quiche you've ever had?
It was my very first quiche.
How was your first quiche?
God, you said quiche.
It was underwhelming. No, it was good. It was good. It was typical. Delicious.
You like the broccoli one more than the bacon one.
I did like the broccoli one more.
The broccoli cheddar one.
Mm.
Yeah.
So listeners, you know, go make yourself a quiche this weekend.
Team broccoli.
It was a big thing in the quiche. Discord. Like, quiches are very simple to make, guys. I don't know why you're making a big fuss out of this. I think it was Enza that said something to that effect. So I'm glad you gave it a shot. That was a phenomenal quiche. Mm-hmm. I've had two or three quiches in my life, and that one's probably it's in the top three.
Oh, wow. I'm so honored.
Oh, wow. That was delicious.
I feel like I just won an Oscar. I'd like to thank the Academy of Quiches.
It's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah, truly.
Yes.
So let's get into it. Yellow Jackets, episode 7. Things are really heating up, cooking up, I think. Things are getting batshit bonkers. It's getting harder and harder for me to stop watching the show each week. So that's for that reason alone, I'm really excited to dive into 9 and 10 next week. But this episode is called No Compass, as we said. I'm not going to say that anymore.
No campus.
So let's talk about our overall thoughts on the episode. After that, we'll do a play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap of the show with thoughts. And then we'll cap it off with our top three favorite moments, some Easter eggs from the 90s that we were able to discover, and then our individual favorite performance of the episode. Madison, what were your thoughts on episode 7?
So what I did last time was give three one or two word summaries of the episode. And so mine this week are Money Heist, Bone Medallion, Glitter Man. Those are my three. Mm.
Happy Pride.
Yeah. We love love. I really enjoyed this episode. This one definitely has a lot more action in it than others in the past. It was, had a lot of bigger action scenes. And I felt like there were a lot more intense, like, hold your breath moments than previous episodes. And this was also the first episode that I notably thought I am more interested in the 2021 timeline than I am in the 1996 timeline. So
I agree that doesn't happen to me often as well.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely prefer the 1996. Steve, what were your thoughts?
Well, the thing I was going to start off with was what Madison just ended off with. This is the first episode where I was actually more engaged with the modern plot line than the 90s plot line. Something about seeing all the women together in the present day, like trying to find fuckface. That was just so fun. And it is a different dynamic and it worked really well because they've mostly been apart for most of the series so far in the modern timeline. So seeing them come together was really interesting and fun, and they played off of each other really well, and it created a lot of dramatic tension that I haven't really felt as much in the modern timeline. Like, I find myself, especially like in previous episodes, a lot of stuff with Sean and I wasn't really like getting into. Ty's stuff in the modern day I wasn't super into for the most part. It's starting to get interesting now. But in previous episodes, I was always like, let's go back to the young kids in the 90s. They're dealing with spooky shit. I want that spooky shit. Mm. This was a really good episode tonight, and things are really starting to ramp up. Because at the end of this episode, because we're doing two episodes at once, like I watched this episode and then the next one back to back. This is the first one where when it ended, I was like, let's keep going. And I wasn't kind of like, I have to keep going for the show. This is the first one I'm like, yes, next one. What happens next? So, yeah.
Yellow Jacket's me.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket
me. I don't have anything intelligent to say that on top of what both of you said. I mean, I echo all of that. And it's interesting to me, though, like, again, watching this for the second time, but not really remembering much from the first go around. There's a lot of mysteries going on simultaneously in the show. And I think you could over mystery, right? Like, I have that concern with a lot of shows where I'm like, I just don't understand what's going on. You're not hooking me enough. Like, there's too many question marks.
Yeah. For a while there, I felt like that was the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with like Ty's character specifically in the modern day. Like,
sure.
There's too much going on here.
Yeah, there's like the Sammy thing, what's going on. And now some of it's starting to come together, but really it's asking more questions than it's answering. Mm-hmm. But in a way that I think they're juggling the balls really well. Like there's four or five in the air, but the hands are moving quickly. Everything's going well.
I feel like what they're doing is they're leading us into they're giving us these questions, then they're answering them slowly, but then... Yeah, kind of like what you said. They're just
delicately. They're just working us up for it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
With the compass.
Campus.
Compass. So the episode starts in 2021 timeline, and it's Dirty Thaisa looking at the phone. She seems confused. It's time for her to go meet up with Shauna and Natalie and handle the situation with the extortionist. She's outside her house. And I think the shot did kind of linger on the leaves of the tree as if to remind you, hey, this is the tree lady that Sammy was alluding to, right? Mm-hmm. I think it did that on purpose, but I could have been reading too much into the lingering on the leaves.
No, I think it was purposeful. Actually, I wrote this note, and I don't think I believe this note anymore because the episode has ended, so I kind of know where it was going. But when it lingered, when it panned up and lingered on the leaves, it took a second, and then after a pause, the leaves started shaking. So I wrote, oh, is someone up there? Is someone up in that tree? Was it not her? Was someone else in there? So that's what I wrote down. I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if I believe that anymore, but I did write that down in the moment.
Yeah. Sammy's in there with her. mother, son, bonding.
He's not even sleepwalking. He's just like, I guess this is what we do.
Mom, can I get down now?
This dirt tastes like shit.
You threw me up here with a Capri Sun and a bag of dirt.
At least, you know. Capri Sunned it.
I'm all out of Capri Sun. I don't want the dirt.
I don't think so.
This scene reminded me of Jack Sparrow. I got a jar of dirt. Just being funny with it. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Except she's sober.
Yeah.
I think it would be wild if, you know, all of the stuff with her sleepwalking and like she ends up in a tree in the 1996 timeline specifically, like if that was all a red herring and there was another thing in the tree, that would almost, I think that would piss me off. Like that's too many deliberate red herrings, right? Like that's not fair.
That's
a tree
on a tree.
Yeah, exactly. It's trees all the way down.
It's the person with no eyes in the tree with her.
Yeah. It's a neighbor that she has. And he's like, why do you keep running? I've got your mail. By the way, these get weepy.
Why do you keep running?
I've known you since I was friends with your grandmother. Plot twist. But she goes into the bathroom and starts to wash all the blood and mud off of her. And this is a really gnarly scene. By the way, I'm such an idiot. I was watching this thinking like, I need to get one of those like nail brushes for my sink. That seems like a really effective way to clean your hands. Cause if I was in this situation, I would never get that dirt out from under my nails. Cause I don't have one of those, mm-hmm. but that's neither here nor there. And she's got all this like mud in her teeth while she's trying to like and she's weeping. She's like, it's really.
She has like a human bite mark on her hand, doesn't she?
Is that what it is? Is that what's wrong with her hand?
I was wondering what the blood was from.
It's definitely a bite mark on her hand.
Interesting.
She bit her own hand.
You don't see it too much, but I thought it looked like a human bite mark, like someone bit her hand.
I mean, imagine it's her.
Or it could be a biscuit.
I don't know. Maybe biscuit.
A biscuit bite.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Little fucker.
I know.
God damn it, biscuit.
Those little dogs bite.
You're going to be a burnt biscuit soon.
You got to put him down now. He's got a taste for human flesh. We go back to the 1996 timeline, and it's also Thaisa, and she wants to go for help. You know, she wants to hike south like a goose and just see who's down there and who can come back and help. Everyone is pretty much against her.
They're all calling her a silly goose for this idea.
Yeah, speaking of geese, you're a silly one. Mm-hmm. And except Jackie, who's like, yeah, I think someone other than me should go save me. I'm starting to like Jackie less and less as the season goes on. And I think I'm supposed to, but if that's true, it's working.
I've been at that point with Jackie for a couple episodes.
Yeah, especially when they're kids, though, I try to like... Ah, well, I sucked.
Oh, sure.
You know, but at this point, I'm like, nah, she sucks.
I mean, it's been what? I mean, more than a month, maybe.
Maybe 2 months.
Yeah, like, come on. The reality's set in. Like, don't quit being your dumbass self. Mm-hmm. Something I do want to point out, and I thought when I watched it and I heard it for the first time that everyone was going to be like, what the fuck, Jackie? But she mentions that there's a flare gun in the plane. And nobody seemed to be alarmed by that. And I was like, there's a flare gun in the plane and y'all haven't thought to like get on the roof of the cabin and like shoot it off or something?
Yeah, pop one of those off.
Yeah.
At least for a party.
Right. Or I don't know. I guess, you know.
Because they legitimately don't know what's around them. They could be very close to civilization.
Yeah. But in my head, I just was like, that's like a big thing. And we didn't know that until just now. And so I just assumed that they didn't know that until just now. Or at least everybody else besides Jackie.
Yeah. Somebody had just looted the plane and found out that stuff on their own. Which that's a good point. Because, you know, do you remember the movie End of the Wild? Either of you?
Yeah.
Probably.
Which one is that one?
Emil Hirsch.
Okay. Yes.
Where he gets, you know, stuck in the wilderness. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's a true story based on a guy named Christopher McCandless, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. And it's based on a book. But the saddest part about that kid and what happened to him out in the wilderness is that he wasn't far from like a nearby shelter for who were they, like the police of the forest?
Oh, Rangers? The Rangers.
Yeah. There was like a ranger shelter.
The police of the forest.
You know,
guardians of the forest.
Yeah, they train Smokey.
You, bear, stop.
Or I'll shoot.
Drop that picnic basket or you're going to get it.
So anyway, that could be a thing. And that's where a flare would come in handy. That's true. Mm-hmm. But
police of the forest.
Everybody's trying to prevent Thaisa from going. But Jackie raises her support for it. I think Lottie says, hey, but if you're wrong, you know, what happens? And Thaisa for a second says, I don't know. And she says, yes, you do. And so Thaisa's like, all right, you want me to say it? If I'm wrong, I'll die. We're on the same page. Mm-hmm. If you want me to say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Plus, all of our breath stinks. None of us have much toothpaste.
Yeah.
If you want me to say that too, I'll keep going telling hard truths.
I'll say it right in your face.
Dirt in her mouth. God damn. Yeah, she must be ranky.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine Van kissing her though? Oof.
No.
The stanky breath. Sorry.
You got to brush it out.
You got a dirty mouth, girl.
Clean the top. They need some Orbit gum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the intro, they cut straight to the intro of the show after this. And then we open back in 1996 with Laura Lee and Lottie around, I assume, the burnt deer that was rotten and full of maggots, right? Like this is mm-hmm. the burnt carcass of the shitty deer. And they're talking about more of Lottie's dreams. And I suppose there's a dream that she had about the upcoming trek we hadn't heard about yet. We do find out about it shortly. And she's saying, hey, Thaisa wouldn't have listened to me anyway about my dream. So that's why I didn't say anything. And we cut to Thaisa cutting her hair. I guess it's just like, it reminded me of Rambo. And like, if she'd have put like a headband on, I would have been for it. Me personally.
That'd be cool.
Van offers to come with her. Van comes up and jokes a little bit like, hey, that looks hot. And she's like, you're not going to convince me to stay. And she's like, I know, that's why I'm going with you. Right. And it's pretty heartfelt and pretty emotional.
She needs to come with her because she wants to take her to New York. So, and buy her a soft pretzel mm-hmm. and ride a cart in New York's, park.
So horse sweet. And buggy.
Horse and buggy. Yeah.
Are you a big horse and buggy?
No, it was just a very sweet gesture that Van made.
That's true. But also pretzels are delicious.
Pretzels are delicious.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a big soft pretzel?
In New York City.
Or a New York slice. You want to get a New York slice?
Slice of pie.
Yeah. The one time I was in New York City, I had one of their street corner hot dogs and it was disgustingly delicious. The atmosphere of New York made it taste great.
Oh, yeah. It's that all the smog.
Yeah.
Just sinks into the hot dog.
I had like one of those giant New York slices of pizza, but I was in Times Square just like, this is great, but like, I'm going to feel it later.
Yeah, exactly how I felt.
I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah.
I love New York. Next time I'm there, I should buy one of those shirts that says I heart New York. Cause like, that's why they make this.
Because
I love it.
When we were in New York, our producer was, you know, she didn't expect it to be as cold as it was when we were there, but she was really cold. So she was like, I don't give a shit. I'm going into the store and buying a hoodie. And she ended up buying a I Heart New York hoodie, one of those touristy things. When we were going that evening, we were going to like a really, really nice restaurant for dinner. And so we're smash cut to 4 hours later. We're sitting in the middle of this really nice restaurant. And there she, like everyone's in like a suit and tie or like upper business casual. And there's her in a bright white I Heart New York hoodie in the dead center of this nice restaurant. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
Blending right in, I imagine.
We're local.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to do that too. I've been there like 5 times and every time I've tried to blend, but they know. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, especially when I'm in the Bronx.
You've got too much spirit.
Where are you from? Local. I'm from New York. And they're like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not jaded.
The fuck out of here. From New York shit. Just give me a dollar. And I was like, no. I'm from here. I need my dollars for my massive rent.
Yeah. Shit.
As a huge film nerd, though, New York City is like the best city to just walk around in.
Yeah, they're like literally shooting movies all the time everywhere.
Well, literally like every block, you're like, oh, that's this is where they must have shot so such and such. Oh, this is where the Avengers fought the Chitauri. Yeah. Oh, it's literally that, just every single block.
Kristen Stewart just walking down the street. Yeah. Nobody cares except me.
See, I didn't see any famous people while I was there, but I was there for less than 48 hours. So my time there was very limited. I also didn't get any sleep because I was there for work. So I worked during the day. And then at nighttime, I walked around and saw everything I could.
Did your thing. Yeah, a lot of good restaurants, though, like Steve was saying. I didn't wear my I Heart New York hoodie there because I don't have one. But there's some weird stuff, too. Like, they were like, do you want to go get sushi? And I was like, sure, I love sushi. It's one of my favorite things.
I saw quite a few topless women walking around New York City.
Yeah, was like, especially Times Square, yeah.
Oh, what neighborhood?
Because it's
so I can stay away from there.
Well, it turns out it's legal there to walk around topless.
As it should be. Free those nipples.
Free the nipples. No, I was very much like, oh, wow.
But the sushi restaurant that was suggested to me was nude women that you eat the sushi off of.
So maybe those people were going.
They were going to work.
Yeah, they were going. Okay. And that makes sense.
I don't know if they carry to you like a plate, you know, if you're supposed to talk. But right. Like, yeah, they literally like the sushi is, I don't know if it's like a buffet situation.
You dip in the belly button.
I don't know. I didn't go. I was like, no.
Oh, you didn't go. I was about to say, why are you asking all these questions? You would have these answers.
No, I was like, we could just, there's a Thai place right there. I think we should, you know.
Or we could just go to Panda Express.
No, but New York City is really cool. I see why Van would want to take Thai there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is a good dream, a wholesome dream of her to have. And she's like, you know what? And essentially it's all a metaphor for like, I don't think we're going to make it if we don't try. I want to try with you. I don't want to be a coward. It's very heartfelt and touching. So that's ultimately, but Van doesn't cut her hair. So she doesn't fully commit. I'm just going to throw that out there. And then Mari.
Is that what you have to do? Like, hey, we're going on a trek. Time to cut that hair.
Yeah.
I honestly wish,
you know why? Ticks. I'm not the only one thinking
hair does get in the way. It's really annoying. But yeah. I was really kind of sad when she cut the mullet part of the haircut.
I wanted that too.
I was keep the mullet, man.
Yeah, she left it for a bit. And I'm just like,
be a little
badass
there. Yeah.
Rock
that
it.
That would have been so fun.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Full John Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Dirt, man. Already halfway there.
That's a space peanut.
Life's a garden, dig it.
So Mari and Akilah also offer to go with them. And
oh, that's Akilah.
Yes.
Okay. In my notes, I said Mari and some other girl is coming too.
My notes are actually both the red shirts want to come too. Because they've done no effort whatsoever to like flesh out the characters of Mari and Akilah specifically. They're just like, and they're also here. Yeah, we're going to obviously kill them when things heat up in season two or three on the in the wilderness.
Mari's usually her role in the show is we need a third girl in this conversation that isn't one of the main girls.
And yeah.
She's the one who's like, hey, opposing viewpoint. And then they ignore her.
It'd be hilarious if at some point the other girls like Shauna looked over. Who the fuck are you? You're not on
You've
the team.
You've been here this whole time.
What is going on? Who invited them?
Yeah, they just like get scared. Like, who are you?
So then they
guys, the rescuer's here.
The whole time. They cut to Travis. He's in there messing with his cologne. Natalie gives it a sniff. She kind of digs it. He's like, oh, maybe I could use it for like a antiseptic or something. I don't think that's how cologne works, but it might be. I'm no chemist. And Travis says he's going too. He's going to go on the trek, not to be all misogynistic or anything, but I think they need a guy with them. And Natalie's like, yeah, that is misogynistic.
Well, then why are you going?
Shit it on him.
Burn.
And then Natalie asks him not to go. And, you know, she says, I think I might, and cuts herself off. Do you think she was going to say, love you already?
I think in some way, I think she was going to admit some serious feelings. I think love may, I don't know if love would have been.
It's a strong word.
Strong word.
Plus love hurts.
But I think she would have said some endearing thing to make him stay.
Yeah, maybe not the L word, but a good word.
Lesbians?
Mm.
I lesbian you.
But and Travis ultimately stays. She gets a big smile on her face. We cut to Lottie. She's giving Van the bone that she pulled out of the burnt deer carcass. And it's kind of like a lucky totem. Like, hey, keep this with you at all times for sure. And watch out for the red smoke and a river of blood. And Van's like,
all
okay,
right.
Gotcha. She's actually more receptive to that helpful information than you'd think she'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Lottie looks genuinely concerned for their safety. And I think that's what really kind of rattles Van. Well,
she correctly predicted Homecoming Queen and the drama with Miss Jenkins. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible she's actually clairvoyant. Van knows that. And we cut to Misty watching the coach with Thaisa through the window. And I guess what's going on here is he's giving, like, he respects Thaisa for going, and she's getting the attention from the coach. And so Misty thinks the way that she can get some of that hot coach attention is to offer to go on the search party venture.
You know, there's only so much hot coach attention going around.
Yeah.
And she's got to get her slice.
Yeah. And she wants to get a leg up on the competition with the coach attention. So everyone's saying their farewells, and then Misty hops out like, hey, I want to go too. I'm going to go with you guys. Right. And then she goes, please don't try to talk me out of this, Ben. And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, no, don't go. Please come back.
Awesome of you, Misty. It's very brave. She's very pleased with herself. And then they all trek off.
I had to mute them talking because I can't watch that. I can't watch the secondhand embarrassment. It just makes me
really
cringe so bad. Oh, man.
I love it. I live for it. And
I'll come back for you.
Oh, man.
Back in 2021, Natalie's motel, Thaisa and Shauna show up. There's a hilarious moment because, like, in movies, you know, I'm the same way. Like, movies have taught me everything about, like, anything cool about the world. And so when Natalie pulls out the $50,000, Shauna's like, that's it? Yeah. That's 50 grand. And Natalie's like, yeah, and hundreds. And she's like, oh, I thought it'd be a lot bigger. And they got the tracker from Amazon. It's actually really highly rated. It's one of the most popular items on there.
So I guess that means she did get $50,000 for her car. Because we were wondering that in the last episode.
Yeah. Had to.
Do you think they gave that brick of cash to her? Like, here you go, ma'am. Clunk.
Maybe. Yes, very likely. Mm-hmm. Very shady car lot. Yeah. No, I assume she withdrew it from the transfer. Mm. Here's where, now I worked at a car lot. I'm ashamed to say, but it's a real thing that happened. That would have taken a while. Like, titles have to get processed
to get the money transferred over. Mm.
Just to actually get paid for selling your car. It's going to take at least a few days to a week or so, but you know, it's okay. That's the only nit I have to pick with the realism of the spooky supernatural show.
That's movie magic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Next, you're going to tell me the ghosts aren't real. And then she has the $50,000. They go to fill this bag. And obviously the money's not enough to hide the tracker. It's kind of a comedy bit where they have to find some trash and towels and shit to stuff in there.
Yeah.
Natalie says she's going to drive because it's her fucking money. So she gets to drive the Range Rover, and Thaisa relents. And then she opens the door and's like, well, how do you start this fucking thing? Which I assume it's just a push button.
Yeah.
That is exactly when I first drove someone else's car that had a push button. I did the same fucking thing. I was like, where's the ignition? I'm pressing the button. It's not doing it. You got to put the brake down and then, shut up.
It's just like when you turn a key, my guy. I did that with a stick shift in my early 20s. It wouldn't start. I called the lady. She's like, will you move my car for me? And it was like a Pontiac Solstice or Sunfire or something, like convertible type brand new sports car.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, I'm a man. Of course I could. Why couldn't I? With my dick. Why couldn't I? So I go out there and I call her, and she's at work now. And I'm like, it won't start. And she's like, oh, my God, it's brand new. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I guess you got fucked. It won't start, you know.
Sucks to suck.
She's like, oh, my God, that's terrible. And then like 10 minutes go by and she calls me and she's like, are you holding down the clutch while you turn the key? And I was like, the what? And she's like, get the fuck out of my car. That's a thing with stick shifts.
So did you figure out how to drive it?
I did eventually get it around the block out of spite. Good. But it was hard. Like, because even once I got it started, I kept trying to take off and it would stall, of course, because I'm a douche. And that took a long time. She's like, well, once you get it into first, it's really easy. And I was like, sure, sure.
That's how it is with motorcycles.
You're a motorcycle person.
Yeah, well, I'm a rookie motorcycle person.
You get your permit, right?
My permit.
So somebody has to ride on the back.
Every time. I have to track my hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's checkpoints I have to check into when I'm riding my bike.
That's how you turn on a motorcycle.
Not really.
You can't see me. You don't do this?
Huh?
Don't you? Isn't this how you signal you're going to turn?
They have turning signals on motorcycles.
Yeah.
So I just
how do you hold the handlebars?
There's a little button I press that goes left.
Yeah, right. You do that if even if you're not on a motorcycle, it's for if you have you're driving a vehicle that doesn't have directional, you know,
thingies, like indicators. Yeah, indicators. Ooh, yeah. Even yeah. Bicycles. Mm-hmm. Bicycles. Funny story, yeah. I can't ride a bike either. Mm. Never learned. So
well, you can ride on the back of my motorcycle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would love
you for,
to.
I'll take you for
I'll
a joy.
I'll be scared though.
I'll take you for a joyride.
Can I scream in your ear? Because I might.
Yes.
Tell me when to lean.
Okay.
I'll lean. Isn't that what you do? You got to lean with a turn, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess. Don't we'll find out, damn
we'll
it.
We'll find out, yeah.
I mean, if you're racing.
Then it cuts. Yeah, yeah, I want
to. I want to. How low to the ground though? I want to get. Yeah.
It's like there's. I'm on those things at the arcade. I know how motorcycles work.
Yeah. So
back
exactly.
Back in 1996, Jackie demands to know what's going on with Shauna. She's kind of sensed this shit because they've been best friends since they were little girls, and all of a sudden she's not privy to any of the hot goss, right? And finally, she admits I'm pregnant, and she's like, "How?" And she ultimately said, "Meaning
she's like, you lost your virginity,
yeah,
without telling me."
That's fucking, so it doesn't count. If you don't tell your BFF, did it even happen? It's like a tree falling in the forest and nobody's around to hear it.
Right. Yeah.
If you have sex for the first time and don't tell your best friend.
Did it really happen?
It's not real. Got to do it again.
The betrayal.
Yeah. She's horrified, but also very curious with about this goss. And Shauna says it was Randy. Fucking Randy. Who's the guy that we saw at the motel in present time? Mm-hmm. I think Tammy kicked him out.
His current wife. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to get through this together is what Jackie says. She's pretty kind about it. Like, hey, don't worry. But I think she's more like, is she actually kind or is she just feel so much better to think she has all the information and she's back in control? Right.
I don't know. She seems really perplexed more than anything. At one point I wrote down that she wrote, baby, I have so many questions. She called her baby. Baby.
You're stuck on that, huh?
The baby. I watched that episode. So I watched that section so many times. It cracked me up every time.
That's one of the best moments. At least, I don't know if it translated like to listeners how funny probably that not, was, but for us, that was so funny.
Was
so
I don't
funny.
Think it did. Yeah.
The baby.
I've been doing your impersonation of Werner Herzog. Every time I see my daughter, I go, I want to see the baby.
I would like to see the baby. I've been looking for you for so very long time.
But she's 7 months old and doesn't seem to get it. You know, it's not worth it.
Come on, baby.
She's like, Dad, I haven't seen Mandalorian. But I don't know who Werner Herzog is.
No, but I think Jackie's being sincere here. I think there's some sincerity there. I also think, you know, she's happy to know the drama, but at the same time, I think there's...
I don't think she's a monster.
No.
But I mean, in the next couple of scenes we get with them, she pretty quickly, like she's naturally inquisitive in a curious way, but also in like a never bought the bullshit from the start kind of way.
Yeah, and then, I guess that's true.
She jumps to stealing the journal pretty quick to where it made me kind of look at this scene a little differently. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jackie's a terrible person. I think she's spoiled and selfish. Which is like, just means you're in high school, right? Like,
what do you mean? She's obviously not a terrible person. Her mom told us so last episode.
That is
she
true.
She is an amazing human being.
One
possibly
of
the best.
To ever do it.
I mean, there's like, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. Nelson Mandela, but then Jackie's right around there.
Yeah. Mount Rushmore of mm-hmm. good people.
Yeah.
Jackie's somewhere on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But real tiny. She never grew to full height. So back in 2021.
What do you mean? She's the perfect height. That's why she's tiny.
Natalie waits for the drop. And she puts the money in a clothing donation bin, which I thought was clever for the extortionist. And Shauna and Thaisa are in the minivan watching the tracker. They're talking shit about Natalie being on drugs and what a piece of shit she is. And we find out a little bit more backstory here, which is really neat. Like, so Thais is a lawyer, which, of course, 99% of politicians have a background in law. Mm-hmm. But she's like, the pay cut I took to run for Senate won't pay for another stint in rehab. Shauna starts to give her shit about paying for another stint in rehab for Natalie. But I thought it was interesting that Thais defends it for a lot of reasons. But ultimately, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And so we get kind of a clue as to some stuff that happened in 96 that we mm-hmm. haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Other than unless she's alluding to the fact that she was a good hunter, but I think there's more to that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think similarly to you, I was like, oh, well, yeah, there is definitely something that Nat has. I think it's in reference to something more than the hunting. I don't think it's mm-hmm. specifically hunting.
She's a good hunter, though.
She is a good hunter. Mm-hmm.
And then Natalie ultimately shows up in the middle of them kind of starting to warm up and get to know each other again.
Real quick though, I was getting a little teary eyed in that scene.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
Because Nat's one of my favorite characters. And when they were like, we have families, and who does Nat have? She has nobody. And I was like, I'll be there for Nat.
And then, and then she's like, except for Travis. And then we're all like, well.
Yeah. And now she has worse than
now
nothing.
She had even less. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very true. And like, and I love that Thaisa said, like, why do we have all that stuff? Because we're better people? Or no, it's just, it was lucky. Like, it was fate, you know? Mm-hmm. And Natalie's been dealt a shit hand. Don't get me started. From birth.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm with you, Steve. It's very touching. But she shows up with some liquor that she bought off a clerk, because Sean is like, where'd you get a bottle of liquor at 2 a.m. at a gas station? Because apparently they don't live in Kentucky, where you could definitely buy a bottle of liquor at 2 a.m. at a gas station.
Yeah, you just have to walk outside and go, liquor, and someone will just show up with it.
It just appears in your hand.
And just bourbon just appears. Bourbon grows out of the ground here.
Yeah.
I shouted that last night, and someone just shouted back, I hardly know her.
Well, that also does not surprise me.
I hate myself more than you hate me, Steve. Back in 1996...
What are you talking about, man? I cream pie'd you earlier. I love you.
And you quiche me twice. There's the search party is what I started calling it, but it's just Van and Thaisa and the two red shirts and Misty. And Van is wearing her totem, so she's taking Laura Lee's advice. They're hiking along. There's some funny bits in this. They're actually genuinely having a good time for the most part. If this was a horror movie, you'd be the first to die, Van says to Thaisa. And she's like, why? Because I'm black? And she's like, no, because you're the skeptical one. So you get taken out first, and then all of us get to run around screaming and being superstitious.
And if it was a horror movie, Lottie would obviously be the villain.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she says that Lottie predicted prom queen and the Mr. Jenkins scandal, because they kind of have a little argument about...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Reality versus superstition, all that stuff again. Back in 2021, Misty is watching Kevin on the spy cam while Jessica's downstairs screaming, I know you fucking hear me. And she's unfortunately.
She's doing some auditory torture where she's just blasting the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack at her.
I think she's just bopping to that and just.
I think she is too. Jessica, and I'm here requested for it.
Yeah, Jessica. If you're going to leave me down here, better throw down once more.
But do you think Misty, Pisty.
Pisty. Oh, Misty is pisty right now, for sure.
She does get pisty.
Not pisty, Misty. Is she listening to Pandora, or is she listening to Spotify? Is she listening to Apple Music? I'm curious. What do you guys think?
Oh, what's streamable music service she ascribes to? I think
Misty's obviously a little off her rocker.
I hope she's using BearShare. So,
I think she's a SoundCloud girly, maybe.
Oh, you think?
What a monster.
Or like an Amazon Music.
Oh.
Google Play. Something. Random.
That could be it. Yeah.
It's like the Quibi. What's the Quibi version of music?
Just quick 30 seconds of music.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I could see her rolling with that.
I don't know. She's probably still using CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's like
cassette tapes.
Yep. I want to know this answer though. Misty fascinates me.
Yeah. I want to say it's Pandora because I feel like she'd just be like, oh yeah, Phantom of the Opera radio, and then just let it go. I don't know. That's my take.
She's like trying. She's up on modern times, but also like 5 years back.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Well, and she's been so invested in Pandora, she probably has all of her channels picked out.
She's not going to start over.
Yeah, she's not going to, no.
She even has
said, screw the Spotify bullshit.
She even has a playlist for Caligula.
Oh, 100%.
Like
Caligula's Booty Jams 4 is a playlist that she plays on, and then it updates every year.
She's got one of those things where you can like watch your pet on the camera and throw it treats. What's that called? Do you have one of those, Steve?
I do, but it's called a bunch of things. I don't know if it has a singular name.
She's got one. Well, there's like a really popular brand of it. Doesn't matter. She's got one. She's throwing
Caligula. I just
Caligula
use my Ring camera.
I've got a lot to say about Misty in the next episode.
Yeah, same.
I'm passionate about Misty. I'm with you there, Steve. But yeah, Thaisa gives no details about her own life. They're sitting there drinking the liquor back in 2021.
Shauna drank too much.
Yeah. Dude, there's like fucking 4/5 of that fifth. It's a lot of fractions missing.
That bottle started off full.
They drank way too much for a stakeout. You're supposed to take a few sips, take the edge off.
So they dropped it off at 2 a.m.
We cut back and in the car and we just hear apple bottom jeans. Like, what are you
with the fur?
What are y'all doing right now? Keep it profesh.
But like the drop off was at 2 a.m., right?
Yeah.
So
it's been an hour and a half.
Nat comes back. Maybe I assume shortly after 2 a.m., maybe like 2:30, because they were wondering how late she was. Mm-hmm. And now when we come back to them in the scene, it's like 3:15. So they've been only drinking for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And they were chugging. They went through that whole goddamn bottle.
Most of that liquor hasn't even hit them yet. I guess most of it with Shauna, because she's the only one that even looks buzzed. And like she's acting a little like, you know, your fucking problem is, you know, kind of attitude. So, because she's like being so smart ass to Thais. They're like, oh, thanks for all the small talk. Loving this conversation. You
know? Yeah. But Nat admits to having a relationship with Kevin Tan.
Yeah, it's really endearing because we get to see them like be adult friends. Like, because it's easy to forget how close these people are to each other after what they've been through. They just haven't seen each other in a decade and a half or so, right? So when Natalie says that I've been fucking Kevin Tan, she's got this big smile on her face and the line delivery that only Juliette Lewis could do. It's, you know, I just got all happy. Like, yeah, just let the girls hang. This is fun, you know? And then when Shauna's like, I shouldn't drive unless we want to die. You know, that kind of shit. It's funny.
I know. She's like, if we want to figure out who this is, then I shouldn't drive.
Yeah. Cause I'm going to die.
I'm going to die.
Back in 96, it's Natalie and Travis. She's horny. Let's just be real. Let's call it what it is. She runs in.
She wants to be dicked on.
Yeah. Dick down, dick Steve. Down. I would like to get dicked upon.
Who do I see for the dicking
Sir,
on?
Can I get dicked upon, please?
One dick on, please. She goes in there. She comes on to him strong. And he's all nervous. He's trying to put the condom on. That's not easy to do if you're not a practiced individual. I'll just throw that out. So that's accurate info. She offers to help. That makes it worse because he doesn't like thinking about her having experience with this situation. You don't even have a dick. That means you've been touching other dicks. I don't want to think about that right now. That's the vibe I got from Travis. He's insecure about that kind of shit, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got too much going on in his head. So all the blood leaves the other head. He softens up a bit. He's having a hard time. I'm just trying to talk about this like adults.
You're right.
And he runs away. That's it.
That's
scene
rough.
And scene.
That's rough.
She just wants to talk. It is rough.
It is rough. Because I like from okay, I'll be honest with you guys.
From a
guy's perspective who has had nervous issues in the past when he's with partners for the first time.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. It is like you can get into your own head and it can really like mess with you.
Sure.
Yeah. And so like part of me like kind of feels bad for Travis, but where I don't feel bad is where he kind of like gets angry at her, like, shut up, mom. Like that. He's got that energy. And it's like,
mom, yeah.
Oh my, shut up, mom.
Why did you do that?
Because he's so like pissy, like, get out of my stuff, mom. Like that's like how he reacts.
But it's, you know, he's upset at himself. Cause you know, he's just nervous, but I'm more upset that he left Nat alone.
100%.
Didn't stay and like, you know.
Yeah, you just sit up, you do the real thing and you sit up and you have a discussion with your
partner. Be a man.
Like, hey.
Well, he's young.
Hey, sorry, I'm getting my own head. Can you like play around with it a little bit more and then maybe we try again? That's what you do.
It reminds me of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. If you've seen that movie where towards the end he's getting back with Kristen Bell and they're fooling around and he can't get hard because he has a guilty conscience because he's been seeing Mila Kunis. And she's like, and he's trying to break it off with her. He's like, maybe we shouldn't do this. And she's like, you want me to try my mouth? And he's like, Sure, maybe, but I don't think, you know, it's a really funny moment, but
I
actually really like this scene. And I don't mean to relate everything to my personal life. The point of television and stories is to be able to put yourself in the shoes of someone completely unlike you as well. It's one of the beauties. It's a window into a life experience you've never had, but, you know, I had some, you know, issues with in my youth as well, but also like, and particularly this woman I was absolutely in love with. I was in my late teens, early 20s. I don't even remember, but I was obsessed with her. And I had already gotten out of a relationship that was really long-term recently. And so it was kind of like I was putting way more baggage on her than she even knew, right? So I was obsessed with this woman. And we had, it wasn't this particular situation. It was even worse. I probably don't even want to talk about it just to make sure. But like, we were messing around basically, and there was an incident where somebody got hurt. And it was nobody's fault, but there was blood and stuff. And it was like, so it went from sexy time to panic. Like I flipped on the light. There was blood on the sheets. I was trying to fix things. And so I ran. Like I was like really upset and embarrassed with myself. Like this person is so awesome and so beautiful. And I just royally fucked everything up. Right. Mm. So I ran, we were at a cabin party. I ran outside, got wasted, passed out on the lawn. I think I was so drunk. Right. And I think about that now as an adult a lot, like a, you know, a much more, a lot more wrinkles in my brain nowadays. And I think about like, she didn't even care. She wasn't even mad. Like right. She was really mad the next morning that I left her in there. But like, if I'd have just sat there with her and cuddled and talked through everything, it would have been a great night, you know, if I'd have been an adult about it. And so watching Travis do this, I was like, no, she's not mad or like looking down on you, dude, like stop, you know, it was painful, but really accurate. Cool to see.
Yeah.
Been there. It's tough stuff. Navigating sexuality and all this stuff is, that's what I love about this show, because it's like, there are many, many shows that are just about the cheating with Jeff and the pregnancy and the sexual dysfunction and the weird feelings and the bad childhoods. Those are interesting and hard enough to navigate by themselves. But then you've also got like supernatural shit and planes exploding and monsters and wolves. And it's really interesting to see it all put together like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a rant. You just cut that out, Steve.
No, I love it.
So we cut back to
sorry, just thought of like welcome to ED cast.
Everybody needs help. So we cut back to Shauna and Jackie, and they're out sitting in the woods kind of alone, and Jackie is like so happy to be back in, right? Like you can kind of see this, at least I did. I got this idea that she's like, okay, I'm back. Like, tell me everything. Right. And she's like, so where did it happen? And she says that it was at Mari's birthday party, had too much Malibu and milk, which is
what the fuck? We need to unpack that.
Yes. What the fuck is that?
Yes.
Well, it's like a white Russian, but with Malibu, I guess.
Ew.
Yeah. Those are two things that have no business even being in the same sentence.
No.
Let alone being mixed together.
Unless you're drinking milk in Malibu. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. Yes.
But even then, it's probably too hot. Yeah, that's going to sour quickly. Milk was a bad choice.
But it's like Malibu's already, it's not a very high content alcohol, but then you're mixing it with milk, which is a very, I'm imagining a content, like a, well, condensed liquid. I just am like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Top
like,
10 best Malibu rum and milk recipes on yummy.com.
Ew.
Those two things do not go together. It's the opposite of a quiche and cream pie.
She doesn't specify, but I wonder what kind of milk it was. Was it like skim milk? Was it
1%? Is it goat's milk?
Because if it's skim milk, it's a little bit watered down, so it doesn't have as much milky flavor.
No, it was whole milk. This was the 90s.
Ew.
This was got milk era at its peak.
No.
Vitamin D, baby.
Okay, no. So I've looked up one recipe. This is for the Malibu coconut and milk recipe. It's 1.5 ounces of Malibu coconut rum, 2 ounces of cranberry juice, 2 ounces of pineapple juice, blend with ingredients and serve over ice. So does it actually have milk?
I didn't hear milk at any point.
Either. What the hell?
Maybe Malibu milk is the name of the drink. Oh. And it's in fact no milk, but I think it's got milk.
Maybe
in
it's
it.
Just, the milk is the coconut.
They're teens. They don't know how to drink, you know, shits like that. I used to drink rum and rum and Dr. Pepper was my thing in high school. So it's definitely way better than Malibu and milk, but
well, What, a pina colada? Does that have milk in it?
I don't know, actually.
It has a type of cream in it, but not milk.
Mm. Anyway, she said that and I almost threw up. I was like, that is nasty.
You're nasty, girl. Nasty. At Mari's B-Day party, no less. That's what you're doing?
I'll agree with Jackie on that. The Malibu and milk is a no-go.
Yeah, you're drinking Malibu and milk and fucking Randy when you're supposed to be celebrating another year of life for Mari? Ridiculous way to behave, Shauna.
Ridiculous.
And Jackie kind of calls bullshit because she's like, wait a second, didn't I have to go back and pick up Randy because he vomited in the pool? And Shauna does a terrible job of covering it.
Shauna's
she's
a like, bad
yeah, he came super quick and he was wasted, so he threw in the pool. And
yeah, we're real drunk.
Yeah. And she's looking all shady up and to the right while she does it.
Yeah.
I did like Jackie's like, now I'm just picturing Randy's little butt like right here.
Yeah.
And even Shauna thought that was funny. Yeah, like,
because everyone's like, Randy does have a little butt.
Yeah. That is
it's,
funny.
It's tiny. Mm-hmm. It's not even a pancake butt. It's just like a butt that's regular, but it's like tiny.
Like Beetlejuice, like his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the tiny head on the big body. Like they it's a tiny butt on a
big. They sprinkled that powder on his hiney.
Yep.
Yeah. They were like, I need some butt powder. And they actually grabbed that.
Like it was talc.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Yeah.
And then the scene ends after all that kind of mirth with, first Jackie looks like she's not believing the lie at all. And then she says, Shauna, what are you going to do? And she doesn't know. I think I'm screwed. I'm about to have a baby in the wilderness with a bunch of other kids. I think this is bad news. Mm-hmm. We cut to back at like Van and Thaisa and the search party group there. I think they're having a campfire. It's in the middle of Van telling some kind of story and she's animatedly, entertaining everybody. Then they hear wolves and, they get really scared for a second, talk about keeping watch and what might happen. But then Van brings it back to the story like a pro. I forget how, but I was very fucking impressed with how she wove that back in there. Who is in trouble? Sandy. And everybody kind of smiles. It's a really endearing moment, even though, and again, I've seen this show before. I text Madison and Steve. I think I was watching this last night. It was like 11:30 p.m. And I had remembered. So I heard the wolves go, or whatever wolves do. And then I remember. That's a hurt wolf.
That's why they weren't scared. Yeah.
The wolves went, bitch ass wolf.
The main dire wolves.
I remembered all the visions that we talked about with Thaisa as an adult seeing the wolf. And I text them all excited, like, the fucking wolves. I get it. Yeah. But I didn't know if you guys had already, because Steve's never seen the show before, if he was there yet. So I didn't say any more details.
Oh, yeah. You sent that and I hadn't watched the episode yet. So I'm like, all right.
I knew what you were talking about.
I mean, hell yeah, wolves.
But I could just imagine it was one of the baby.
It was. It was just like
the wolves.
So back in 2021,
it would be the wolves.
The wolves.
Back in 2021, Misty and Jessica are down in Misty's basement. Jessica, of course, not by choice. And she tells her, tell me the truth. And then she says, okay, that hair style doesn't work for you. So she's still spunky and smart-assed, right? So Misty accuses her of everything. You're responsible for the blackmail, the murder of Travis. And Jessica is surprisingly calm, even though she's just been captured by another human being and locked in their basement. And she says, this is not the first time I've been held hostage. That's why she's so calm. And then Misty says, how'd you know about the symbol? And then Jessica looks really confused. She's like, look, Thaisa Turner hired me to investigate you guys to make sure you're not going to spill the beans on the being stranded in the wilderness.
The beans need to stay in the bag.
Yeah, the beans need to stay in the bag.
Or the maggots and the deer.
That's right.
Keep them in there.
And she says that she is sure that Travis was murdered and you're going to have to let me go to tell you the info that I know. And Misty says very intelligently, what happened to the last person that kidnapped you? And then
they lived happily ever after.
And then my notes are slap because Misty's like, that is a funny joke. And then slaps the shit out of her.
That'd be great if Misty was like, what do the five fingers say to the face?
Slap. Unity.
Unity.
Back in 1996, Shauna finds Javi going through her shit. And he says that he's looking for her hunting knife because he has an art project. And then she softens and says, oh, yeah, you're the one with the dead dad. My knife's right here. And he leaves. And then she hides her journal in the rafters. So she was upset because there's shit in there like her journal she doesn't want him seeing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can't pull the dead dad pass if he read through her journal.
No. Back in
also,
20.
Also, who forgot that Javi was there?
I did.
I mean, it's hard to keep. There's so many.
I know. There's probably like maybe 10 other kids there that just don't get featured.
And Javi's
at all.
Probably barely more important than Mari. Like, barely. Maybe even less.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just important by his association with Travis.
Yeah.
So when he popped up, like going through stuff, I'm like, who is this?
Burglar.
Is
the baby.
Is the rescue team here?
Do we fast
because
forward?
The last
Shauna's
time
baby
we
grew
see
up?
Him, he is in the attic and makes that awful comparison of, or asks the ghost in the attic, are we going to die out here?
Yeah.
It just completely ruins the mood, right? Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
the last time
we've
seen
him.
I think
that is the last time we've seen him.
Yeah.
Unless he's just, I guess that's the point though, is that he's kind of being neglected. I wonder if he's going to turn into like a Tarzan or something. He's going to be raised by those wolves.
He's going to become one of them.
That's what they were doing. He's the one that attacks.
He's one of the.
I can't say it. I don't think it's this episode.
Well, maybe since we're on the subject of Javi, I'm mispronouncing everyone's name tonight.
Harvey. I like
Harvey.
It.
No, Javi.
Paranoia.
But I remember when I watched the show for the first time, I speculated that Javi was Adam.
Oh, because he likes art.
And yeah, and Adam he carved the thing. Guy. Yeah.
Well, and I feel like the only time that we really see a one-on-one with Javi and another character is with Shauna.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
So I think there was good reason for people to think that he was
Adam. He should have been.
Adam.
I'm still thinking it.
Maybe he is something and it's, you know, something different than what we expected.
He is something.
Yeah.
So back in 2021, though, mm-hmm. they're chasing the blackmailer. They're in hot pursuit. They got the tracker. They got a sweet souped up minivan.
I call it the soccer mom heist.
Yeah. They're never going to be foiled in that thing. The truck blocks them. And Natalie's convinced he's working for the extortionist, the extortioner, the guy. And Natalie hops out. She's got a gun. She runs up to the trucker, puts the gun to his chin. She's like, hey, fuck you, buddy. And he's like, hey, I'm just a truck driver.
I just work here.
And they see the actual blackmailer. He's got a ski mask on. How corny is that? And he runs. So they throw the keys to Shauna and say, hey, pull the minivan around front. And Natalie and Thaisa give chase. Thaisa actually tackles him. And he like elbows her in the fucking face. And then
proceeds to wipe out of her pool of noodles and glitter.
Gets yeah. covered in glitter.
I was laughing
that shit
so
never
hard
comes
at
out.
I was laughing so hard at that because when it first happened, my first thought was like, why did they have to do like, cause he gets away from her. Right. Yeah. And then he trips and falls. They do this like big slow motion. Like, no, I fell into glitter. Oh, no. And I just laugh like we didn't need that. Cause like they don't catch him. But then towards the end, it's like, oh,
they're
looking for a guy with glitter. And at that point I was almost mad again. Cause I'm like, I'm not an idiot. You don't need to capture that in 120 frames a second. I can pick that. And why didn't you tackle him through the glitter? Then I would know. Like, I don't know. It was a weird block.
Yeah.
Well, I think the point of him tripping over the glitter is also evidence that he's not very good at this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like when he trips and stuff, like he's not a criminal. He's some fucking idiot that's trying to make some cash. I think that's the point of it too. But it does get covered in glitter. Thaisa stops Natalie from shooting him and she fires a round into like the guardrail there. She was going to kill him. And then they lose the tracker because he dumped everything out and just took off with the money. Now there's a sad ride back is my note. And that there's a really cool conversation where it's like, hey, you were going to kill him. You know, that would have been murder. And then Natalie gets mad.
Red rum smelled backwards.
And she's like, it's not like we haven't done a lot worse. Again, more clues to what happened in 96 that we haven't really seen yet. And then Natalie gets really pissed off because they're acting all fucking high and mighty. And she's also mad that their plan didn't work. And she's out 50 grand, if you think of it that way, too. Like, that's a bummer. And now she has no car.
It's a lot of coke.
it's a lot of coke.
Fuckload. And so she says, pull over. And then she says something powerful. She looks at Thaisa and Shauna and is like, you guys are just as fucked up as I am. You're processing a little differently, hiding it a little better, maybe.
You're lying to yourselves.
Yes. Yeah. And you can see it on Shauna's face in particular. That is 100% true. But I think we can all say confidently that Natalie's right for everybody involved. So that's a cool scene. Back in 96, the search party, they're at the River of Blood. And Mari sees that the compass is not working. And
the campus?
Yeah. It's just spinning around and they start to try to make sense of it. Like, oh, maybe the iron deposits in the river, which are making it red, are also fucking with the compass. And she's like, maybe. So Thaisa is like, whatever. We just need to keep going, get away from it. But everybody else is freaked out, especially Van, because she's listened to Lottie and her visions. Like, oh, my God, she was right about the River of Blood. You know, remember what she said about the old man? Like it didn't want him to leave when they found the plane. And then Thaisa loses her shit. Like, you guys can stay here and, you know, swap ghost stories, all that shit. I'm leaving. So they very begrudgingly follow Thaisa on the path. And then back in 2021, Shauna gets home. Adam is there waiting outside her house. And he's like, what are we doing? So he's seemingly getting a little too involved for Shauna's comfort at this point. Like, you're at my house, bro.
We got a stage five.
You're putting the pussy on the pedestal. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. But he's like, hey. He gets aggressive. I thought the scene was going to go a different way, but Shauna was into it. They go inside the house and they fuck. She gets dicked on. Steve?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Good.
Good for Shauna.
He tells her that she wants to blow things up and see what happens. And that seems to be the line where she's like, you know what? I do like to blow things up and mm-hmm. see what happens.
I kill rabbits.
Like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just do it for fun. And you know what happens?
Mm-hmm.
No one catches me. So why not fuck in my own bed?
That's right.
Period.
Like rabbits.
Fucking like rabbits.
The baby.
They do. They do be fucking. And then back in, Natalie puts Kevin's gun back. I assume she walked from like the factory, department store they were at, which would have taken a long time. She really regretted.
Yeah, Kevin's a heavy sleeper because she's been gone for like 5 hours. I know. Hours.
That dude's just tossing and turning in an empty bed in a house that's not his. Hey,
he's done it before.
He has no guilty conscience. He's
done it before.
Oh, yeah. He's on Hinge every day. Like, I get my rests in for my next hookup. I'm going to dick on somebody tomorrow. So I need to get some sleep. She sneaks back into bed, and it's one of those movie things where as soon as he senses her, he's like, cuddle. Everything's fine. But back in 96, this time, angry campfire with the search party. Van's not telling any cool Sandy story. What's she say when Thaisa comes up and says something? She's like, we don't need any fucking speeches from you. Let's just get some rest, right? Yeah. And she's like, it's going to be okay, Van. We're going to save everybody. Thaisa offers to take first watch after Van does, and they all get some sleep. In 2021, Misty's giving her big fentanyl speech about why she loves it. And she's shooting up chocolates full of fentanyl. Essentially, long story short, it's a really cool way of saying, I'm going to kill your dad if you don't.
I'm going to kill your dad with some chocolates.
That's right.
I mean, if you're ever going to tell someone you're going to kill their dad, this is a really cool way to do it.
Yeah, you don't want to just come right out with it. That'll be awkward. They'll get mad.
At least, he's going to get his favorite treat out of it.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah. It's true. And maybe your dad's like an addict, and he'll be like, nom, nom, nom.
So is Miss, is Misty behind the Halloween fentanyl scare that happens every year? Some boomers saw this episode right before Halloween last year, and they're like, the fentanyl's in our candy.
I know. I remember when I was in active addiction, I remember hearing that shit, and I'd be like, I fucking wish. Who's just giving that shit away?
But we find out that Jessica was the one that, finally is like, okay, I'll tell you because I don't want you to kill my dad.
Yes.
But she tells her that she was the one that bought Travis the expensive whiskey that they were curious about and that someone emptied his whole entire bank account after he died.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So someone had to have killed him and then emptied his money after the fact.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's new information for Misty. We cut back to Shauna in bed. Adam is with her. They fell asleep after the dicking.
Rookie mistake.
Never do that.
Rookie mistake.
I get it. You're all euphoric. Other words.
You want to blow shit up and see what happens.
Sleepy, man. So Jeff comes home and he comes in the room. She tells Adam to hide in the shower because
hide in the closet.
Yeah, hide in the shower. Jeff will be in there in a minute. That's my fantasy.
Honey, who's this man in the shower?
What man?
He's dicking on me. She tries to get him to climb out the window, but the screen is rusted shut. So she has him hide in the closet.
Convenience.
That's right. Mm. And then Jeff comes in. He wants to take a shower. I remember he's been gone all night as well. The inventory kind of took a long time, so I thought it'd be better if I just stay there. Because
that new inventory system, it's going to revolutionize the planet. Just you wait, okay? You wait. Anybody who's ever done inventory before,
y'all
know. All my inventory specialists, rise up.
All my peeps.
All my peeps rise up. You gotta
check every box off.
Yeah, you've been using that Excel spreadsheet too much, my guy. Mm-hmm. My lady.
Do it manually.
Wait till Jeff here revolutionizes the world and he drops big spreadsheets on us.
All right? That's right. I'm glad your faith in Jeff is going strong.
We love a good spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. Spread them. So he goes to take a shower and she says, hey, wait till you hear the water count to 10 and then get the fuck out of here. So she seems to get away with it. We cut back to Kevin, who wakes up, immediately checks his gun like a professional detective. He sees that there's a round missing because it looks like his gun's been tampered with. And it has, in fact. And so he looks at Natalie and he gets really pissed off because this is a highly serious thing. You know, were you aware that I have to account for every round in my gun? And she's like, I was not. That's terrible news, actually. And so he wants to know, like, okay, where'd you shoot it? Because I need the go. I'll get the casing at least, right? That's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
And she's unable to tell him because she, of course, lied about where and why she shot it. So he's furious and he's like, I thought we had something going here. And so you can tell because Natalie in the car, I love this scene. When she was talking to Thaisa and Shauna, she's like, it's kind of nice. I think she does care about Kevin. She really wants to make this work. But in this moment, she's so defensive about the gun and so used to her life turning to shit that she intentionally hurts him. It's like, you're fucking pathetic. We're just having sex, right? When that's not how she feels at all. So it's very sad to watch her self-destruct that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he storms out. And then we cut back to 1996. Shauna sees the carving that Javi made for her. It's a little wolf or doggy, perhaps. Mm. Maybe like a German shepherd. I don't know.
Bow wow.
And her knife. He's returned it.
But there's someone outside.
Someone?
Yes.
Through the window?
I didn't see that. The camera lingers on the close-up of the carved figurine, and you can see a light start walking out. Like,
did you see?
I didn't see that.
Like someone's got some sort of light, and they're leaving. They're going the opposite way of the cabin.
Is it Jackie with her diary?
Maybe.
I think that's what it is, because then it cuts from that shot to where her diary is, and it's missing.
Yeah.
That's a really nice touch. I didn't catch that. Yeah, it lingers on the empty rafters where the journal was supposed to be. We cut to Jackie reading it by firelight, crying. Oh, like the tea. This is tea, right? Oh, this is what the people would refer to as tea.
Spilling the tea.
Ooh, I was drinking this tea.
She's reading the tea.
You never write down receipts.
No.
Just saying.
What do you think she'd said, too? What if it was like really descriptive?
Oh, boy.
He came three times, told me way more than with Jackie, you know.
I mean, as someone who did journal as a 16, 17 year old, it gets descriptive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very Jackie's just
I mean, we saw Jackie's journal. Can you imagine Shauna's journal?
Yeah.
Much more in depth.
What if she's just reading like a similar
Shauna's
entry?
Top 10 positions with Jeff while Jackie's not around.
What if it's just her top 10 movies and she's crying because they're not the same as hers? I thought we were best friends.
What the fuck?
You don't even watch The Craft? Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
You only put that Celine Dion song on once?
What?
Yeah, that's right. It's on the list twice.
Oh, man.
So that's really sad. Jackie's now in the know. We cut to Thaisa. She wakes up. She's in a fucking tree, as we know she does. But this is the first time she knows she does. She's got Van's totem. Uh-oh.
Where'd she get that?
She pulled it off of her like, this is mine. Sleepy Thaisa says, my bone necklace, bitch.
My vertebrae bone necklace.
Yeah. And she's got the flare gun.
I didn't know she had the flare gun.
Yeah, she's holding the flare gun and the totem, everything they could have used to really help their situation. And the girls are down there fending off wolves with bits of fire, except Van, who's being ravaged by one. And all the other girls are like, damn, sucks to be Van. And Thaisa hops down. She fires the flare and then axes the shit out of the wolf repeatedly. And Van's face is all shredded. You can see like, that's one of my
teeth.
Yeah, that's one of the gnarliest things you can do in a movie for me is to rip a cheek and let me see it.
rip a face cheek.
Let me see. Oh,
you had me there for a second. I'm out.
Just ripping cheeks, man.
At least they're not clapping them. And you can see like the teeth through the side.
Yeah.
It's gnarly for me.
I remember seeing that being like, that's good makeup.
It is good
makeup.
Yeah. The teeth makeup. It's not easy to do.
Teeth makeup.
And that's, believe it or not, the end of this episode. It's one of the last shots we see. I think Thaisa screaming over the body of Van.
Yeah.
So now it's time for our top three. favorite moments. Steve, what's your number three?
My number three favorite moment is the scene where Jackie confronts Shauna and is just kind of like, hey, you've been hiding shit from me. What's up? I included this in my list because I didn't expect this to happen so early. Mm. I just didn't see this coming at this point in the season. So when it happened, I'm like, oh, I kind of found myself perking up a little bit. Like, ooh, what you going to say? Oh, she says she's pregnant. Oh, is that enough for Jackie? No, it's not enough for Jackie. She's got to know with whom. And just her lying to her, and you can just tell that it's not, Jackie's not buying it. It was really, I don't know, it was interesting. And I feel like this is what those two characters in the 90s storyline need currently, because they've been kind of not really doing much other than, like, I mean, last episode we had the really awful, like, you know, abortion thing with Shauna, but like, Jackie hasn't really been doing much other than being pissy. And this is kind of like, she's still being pissy, but this is kind of a launching pad for her to like go somewhere.
Get back in the emotional side of the story.
Yeah. And really those two's relationship now is at a point where it's going to be far more interesting to see what happens between the two of them. And I like the tea.
It's delicious tea.
Yum, yum, yum.
Madison, you're number three.
Carrying on the tea, I really liked my number three scene is Shauna trying to sneak Adam out and convince Jeff not to go into the closet. Mm-hmm. I just think it was it was just a playful scene. And that's why I liked it. I just was like, you dumbasses, why would you do that? You know, kick him out.
Under
him
the bed, out. Under the bed.
Yeah. Come on, Shauna, be smarter than that.
Duh. My number three is the moment with the wolf at the end with Van, everything we literally just talked about it, but I loved it. I think it's awesome. Ripping at it.
It's scary.
It's tense.
There's mystery.
Yeah, it's very
ripping
spooky.
Cheeks.
Yeah. Cheeks are being ripped. My favorite thing.
Teeth are being exposed.
As you would expect.
Yeah.
With the cheek rippage. Steve, you're number two.
Cheek rippage is the name of my new band.
Can't steal that. We already got three singles out.
My number two is just the entire, this might be cheating, but it's like the entire kind of collection of the adventure crew saying goodbye to the crew staying behind at the cabin. Mm-hmm. So like, this is like Van talking to Ty about going to New York and kind of solidifying their relationship, to Lottie talking to Van, like, here, wear this necklace. And then finally Misty, like, I'm coming too.
Like, don't try to stop me, Ben.
No, please don't go.
Don't go.
It's very brave of you, Misty.
And then I just liked writing like Marion, another one's going too. I don't know her name. It was just a lot of fun, small character moments of interaction between these characters. And surprisingly fun, but also emotional ways.
So, indeed. Yeah,
My number two is Ty in the tree while everyone else is getting attacked.
Yes.
It was, again, one of those moments that I talked about at the beginning of the episode where I really enjoyed that there were a lot more scenes that kind of made you held your breath. And her in the tree, and you can hear them screaming underneath, you know, what is happening.
Yeah, so. Can you imagine? You're waking up. It's disorienting anyway to wake up in the woods wake up, period, right? Wake me up inside. Yeah. Oh. Back to that.
Can't wake up.
But you're in a fucking tree and all your friends are screaming and there's like woofy noises. Cheeks are being ripped. Oh, what's going on? What kind of party is this?
And I was honestly kind of confused why she took the medallion, or what were you calling it?
The totem.
Totem. I was confused why she took it, because in her awake self, she was shitting all over supernatural anything. But in her sleepwalking self, she's like, no, give me all the supernatural protection.
I don't think it's normal sleep self. I think it's supernatural sleep self. And I think there's like an evil that takes hold of her. And this, whatever is controlling her, knows that that was protecting Van. Mm. And so she took it so she wouldn't have her protection, and so the wolves would get her. It's like so Lottie gave her something that actually was working.
Yeah.
And then,
because the moment it was taken off of Van, and
they got
fucking
cheeks ripped.
Cheeks ripped.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my number two.
My number two is the moment where Natalie is mean to Kevin.
You big meanie?
Yeah, because I'm like, fuck that dude, you know? No. I thought, as an addict, somebody who, I mean, I'm in recovery. It'd be 11 years, actually, next Wednesday.
Congratulations.
As you guys are listening to this.
What? Wow.
Yay for me. If I make it, I might have drank by then.
That's the real reason why we had that quiche. To celebrate.
But, you know, this gives me a lot of memories of both early recovery and obviously active addiction, where, again, anytime something good does happen to you, you have so much mental illness about whether or not you even deserve this. So you sabotage it, you know, like, fuck you kind of thing. As soon as somebody's nice to you, you know, as rare as that is, you don't feel like you deserve anything good in life. Anyway, I just thought this was a powerful scene. Somebody had clearly done their research and really kind of had a lot of sympathy for people like Natalie, and it meant a lot to me. So that's why I like that scene. Steve, you're number one.
My number one is the aptly named by Madison soccer mom heist. Just them hanging out and swapping stories and being friends, and then just kind of following them try to actually tackle their supposed blackmailer, and then finally Nat kind of getting angry at all of them. Like, I kept that all into one big part for my favorite, but I see it as one thing. And, you know, it was fun to see them being actual friends. It was fun seeing them together and doing something together in the modern day. A modern girl. So yeah, that was why it was my number one. I really enjoyed seeing those actresses work together.
Madison.
My number one is also the soccer mom heist scene for all the same reasons.
That is also my number one.
Wow. This is the first time all of our scenes, number one scenes, were the same.
We synced up. As our conversation from last week. It's a real
statistical
thing.
Probability.
We're all in our periods.
But the reason I loved it so much leads into our next segment, our Easter Eggos, because during that scene, it was popping off with some Prodigy, baby. A little fire starter.
The fire starter.
And I'm not ashamed to admit, I actually unironically bopped to that song many, many times.
Do people not bop to that song?
I don't know if it's cool or not. That's why I prefaced it with that. I can't imagine it is cool. Madison, Prodigy fan?
What are the kids talking about nowadays,
I will
Madison?
Say this was, well, I guess now the second time I've heard this song, because I watched the show for the first time. I had never heard the song before.
What about their other smash hit, Smack My Bitch Up? Are you a fan?
Smack My Bitch Up.
Snap my picture. Smack my bitch up.
I think I've heard that before. My range of 90s music I like to think is strong, but after watching this show, I'm like, wow, I need to listen to some other music for sure, to more 90s
music. So this is like before dubstep was a thing, so all we had was actual techno and house music, and there was like Fatboy Slim, Prodigy, and a bunch of random DJs that were on Molly, and that's all we had.
Yeah.
So we loved Prodigy because it's like, there's words.
Yay, words.
Woo.
Madison shared with us a Spotify playlist of all the songs and Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
I've been bopping to that all weekend.
It's a good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely add Firestarter. Well, I'm hesitant to add any Phantom of the Opera because I'm like,
do it.
Okay, I will.
It's real. It's part of the
character. It is real.
It's part
you're
of the
right,
character.
You're right. You're
we
right.
We need it. Steve, let's go around the table, start naming some eggies until we run out. I only got one more.
I've got several. So in the beginning of the episode, when they're all getting, when Ty's like, I'm heading out and y'all can come with me or not. I think it was Van that says, who are you, Edmund Hillary?
I wrote that down as a question mark, but I never looked it up.
Edmund Hillary is I think he's a New Zealand.
Peace off, like ghost.
Mountain climber. And he's one of the first of the first three people to summit Mount Everest.
Oh.
I climbed it.
Yeah. I'm going to go up that mountain there. I'm going to get my little flag and I'm going to put it right on top of the summit. And I'm just going to have a sit and look at the view around me and think, boy, I did something today.
That's right.
Is that the rock guy from
Korg? Yeah.
Korg? Well, yeah.
Oh, hey, man.
And a New Zealander.
We're starting a revolution.
They're the same.
Yeah. Person. It's Taika Waititi. Peace off, ghost.
Peace off, ghost. He's freaking gone, man.
I fucking
love it. Oh, my God. The hammer pulled you off.
Oh my God, the hammer pulled you off. My favorite line of all time.
Madison, what you got?
I got, so Nat was going into Travis's room, and Natalie was like, oh, you going on a date? And he was like, yeah, with Cindy Crawford.
Ooh, Cindy Crawford plug.
Yeah. So that was my little Easter egg.
There's a Hello Kitty reference from Jackie, I believe.
Yeah.
It was still pretty popular, as I understand it, but apparently in the 90s as well.
Oh, big popular. with Hello Kitty.
Everyone loves Hello Kitty.
You think they got a Tamagotchi somewhere on this wilderness?
One would hope.
Well, there was one on Jackie's backpack, and if she still has that same backpack, then
She should be. Hopefully, she's feeding it.
Hopefully,
I hope she's not neglecting that kiddo. Hopefully Steve.
Not. At one point, it's during the scene where Shauna is telling Jackie that she's pregnant. Shauna is wearing a L'Air d'Espoir shirt. It's French.
Sure.
But it also has like a bunch of butterflies. Mm-hmm. And that translates to glimmer of hope. Mm. And I only wrote it down in retrospect because I noticed that her and Jackie both wear butterfly shirts constantly.
Yeah.
And I just think there's something to it. Mm. So I don't know if that's necessarily a Easter egg, quote unquote. It was just something that I picked up on, like, oh, they're wearing a lot of there's a lot of butterfly motifs with those two specifically.
Yeah. Same with how Misty wears cats all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I see that. This is maybe an Easter egg, but I thought it was interesting how the conversation of killing the black character in a horror film, because mm-hmm. I feel like that was a very prominent trope.
For sure.
In 90s, you know, horror films or just in any
all film. The way up until pretty recently, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good catch. Mr. Steve, you guys can just play ping pong on Aggies.
Okay. So Van is wearing a shirt in the beginning of the episode that says co-ed naked soccer. Did you look this up?
Madison? I didn't look it up. I noticed it, but I didn't realize. I just noticed it. I thought she was just being funny.
How did your... What were your Google results looking like, Steve?
I looked it up and there's a...
Ripping cheeks.
This is from a lot of ripping cheeks. So there's an article on a website I've never heard of before called progressiveboink.com. And the article is called Awful 90s T-Shirt Repository, Coed Naked Soccer. And I guess there was a company... Here, I'll read from the article. One of these ubiquitous lines that revolved around the high concept of, quote, hey, that sounds like a sex thing, kinda, was the co-ed naked line. These were apparently made by the, quote, gotta have sports, and they pumped out over a dozen varying categories. So co-ed naked baseball, co-ed naked firefighting, co-ed naked nursing, co-ed naked cheerleading. And then the article kind of goes into that shirt specifically, and I don't have time to read all of it, but apparently that's like a line of shirts that was in the 90s that was like co-ed naked, whatever.
Interesting.
That's kind of, that's really cool.
Co-ed naked Ninja Turtles.
I tow my hat to the wardrobe team because that's a cool Easter egg.
It is.
It's very cool. The story that Van was talking about is the movie While You Were Sleeping, starring Sandra Bullock and Bill Pullman. And then what's funny is, so Van is talking about, you know, the plot of that film, and then it transitions to 2021 in Misty's basement, and the movie is playing.
Is that who she's watching?
Yeah. That was what she was watching. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good little thing.
Bill Pullman, the president from Independence Day.
We will not vanish in the night.
We will not surrender without a fight.
We're going to move on.
Was he the dad in Casper? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I think he was.
He was?
Like,
I think so.
Christina Ricci's dad?
Yeah.
That Casper?
Maybe he wasn't.
Yeah.
Who was the
I think it
dad
is.
In Casper? I think you might be right.
Look at that.
It was Bill Pullman. Yeah.
Wow.
Dr. Look at James that. Harvey.
That's a triple whammy right there.
Yeah.
And of course, and Christina Ricci's watching her dad on TV.
Look at that.
What? Oh my gosh. The baby.
The baby.
The baby.
Did you mention Space by Amber Mark yet?
Song on the show, wasn't it?
First song.
Yeah, it was the first song that played.
Space.
I forget who. Oh no, Ty says this. Water skiing with Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
I forget at what point she says that, but I think it's when they came across the bloody water.
Yeah,
and that was like her out saying was, "Oh, I'm gonna go water skiing with Princess Diana, or you guys can go water." I don't remember.
Right,
but
they fucking said that shit.
They did.
they said it.
That they did.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with the phenomenon known as cats?
Oh, yes.
Cats.
Which.
Starring Taylor Swift and James Corden.
Yeah, it just got made into a wonderful movie.
Well, apparently that was the only thing that Van got to see when she was seven and went
to
New York.
That's so sad.
Mr. Mistopheles and the other ones.
I think she's kind of being ungrateful. you know?
I know.
Broadway tickets are quite pricey.
And that's a strange play to bring a seven-year-old to.
I never saw it. It's not kid friendly.
I also have never seen it either.
It's very furry friendly. I'll tell
you. But I feel like it could be, what's the word? It can be like there's hidden, like it's not blatantly inappropriate, right?
Right, right. I just think like as I'm just thinking like
innuendo.
Yes, that's what I was.
I'm really thinking of myself as a kid. If I saw that when I was seven, I would be very off, like out of my element. Like, what is happening? I'm very uncomfortable with this.
You're a dog person.
Even as a cat person, I think I would be. Yeah, no.
I think I just hate mimes. No, I'm
kidding. Hey, that's a profession, a really noble profession in France.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of France, Adam says he never thought he would find himself in a French farce, which is a type of play, which is basically a lot of improvisation. It started off as like improvisational acting, like centered around religious stuff, but it morphed into the 15th and 16th century to be more like fun comedic plays of people trying to hide around and stuff. And that's what he's kind of making fun of, the fact that he has to hide in a closet to avoid Jeff. And
sure.
I just thought like, wow, who's bringing up a French farce?
He's an artist.
Yeah, he definitely is an artist.
But also a body shop mechanic,
yeah,
which is its own career. And I keep getting weirded out that they have him doing that while he's supposedly an artist.
But. I'm going to be honest with you. This episode, when they're like, oh, he's just an artist, I was kind of like, is he? Yeah. I thought he did the car thing.
Right.
He's a struggling artist.
Oh. Maybe he does like metal sculptures.
Maybe he's what's her name from Final Destination?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. You guys have any other, other egos?
The last one is Music of the Night with Phantom of the Opera, but we talked about it during the recap.
For some reason, I thought of that song by Into the Rhythm of the Night. And then you said Phantom of the Opera, and I got real confused.
I fucking love Rhythm of the Night. Unironically,
do you
love
pick
that song
every time you play Dance Dance Revolution?
If I played Dance Dance Revolution, I totally would. No, sometimes I'll just text that to Phil because that song gets stuck in his head. So I'm just like, this is the rhythm of my life.
So Phil, if you're listening,
yeah,
we're sorry.
Yeah, you're done.
That's the revenge for Muppet Babies, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
My last one is just Travis mentioned Cindy Crawford at the meat shack. So
she said Cindy Crawford.
Oh, you said that?
Yeah. What the hell,
my bad.
Steve?
I got to listen to the show.
I'm begging you to listen to the show.
God damn.
You just wanted to bring up Cindy Crawford again.
I just wanted to bring up the meat shack again. That's what I
meant. Now it's time to wrap it all up with our favorite performance of the episode. Madison, you go first this time.
My favorite performance was Young Ty, Jasmine Savoy Brown. Mm. I believe that's how you pronounce her middle name. S-A-V-O-Y, Savoy?
That's what I went with.
And I just think her character was really elevated this episode, taking on, I called it Unit 2, Into the Forest, and having a lot of kind of big, at least delivering of lines and monologues and such. So that's why I chose her.
Excellent choice. Really smart person, I think, would pick her. Steve, what did you pick?
I want to give a shout out to Juliette Lewis in this episode. I did not pick her, but I almost did.
Same.
Just because of that scene in the van when she was yelling at everybody. And just her in general. She's so amazing in the show. She plays that character so well. But I'm also giving it to Yasmin Savoy Brown because the episode really centers around her. And she does a phenomenal job of just, you know, struggling with this. You know, am I right? Am I doing the right thing? I have to look strong in front of the others. I'm losing control of myself. She really impressed me in this episode. So that's why I'm giving it to her. Chris, are you a smart person as well?
I'm right there with you guys.
Three-way tie.
Yay.
Three-way. Buzz, buzz, buzz. We got the buzz.
Buzz,
the
buzz, buzz,
buzz, buzz. Damn it.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Well, that wraps up our coverage on episode 7, No Compass. I wanted to say it one more time.
No campus.
You guys can email the show at any time at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Please do that because we're going to have a big wrap up season 2 predictions.
Mailbag.
Madison's first mailbag.
I'm so excited.
I thought you were going to press it again. I was going to give you room.
We'll do it.
Madison's first mailbag.
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 Now we got Madison here. Mailbag.
I'm here. Sure.
Do you want your own harp?
Sure. Sit.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Mailbag.
Love it.
So
love
good,
it.
Didn't it?
Yeah. Every time I talk, I want that to go off.
Yes. Okay. Also, please leave a review for the show where you're listening to this on iTunes or fucking Google Play or your
Stitcher,
wherever. It doesn't matter. There's a review function.
Spotify.
That helps us out a lot. You can do that for free if you can't afford to sign up to the Patreon or you just don't think it's worth anything financially. That's fair.
We do have a poll going on the Patreon. Polls, baby. For our next bonus episode. Mm. It's going to be a close one. There's Twister, Gremlins. I'm blanking
other
on the
movies.
I'm blanking on the other two. Shit. They're Twister. All really good. Why can't I think of them?
Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle is losing.
Badly.
Is Twister winning?
Twister.
Yes.
It's like Twister's winning. Twister. Gremlins is really close.
Big Twister fan?
I love Twister.
The Matrix?
The Matrix.
The Matrix is like third, but like Matrix, Gremlins, and Twister are like pretty.
It's the closest poll I've ever seen, and then Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle is with like 4%.
I was like, Steve, will you throw that on there? Because that's what I want to watch. Because I've never seen it. So sometimes I'll throw a movie on that I've never seen.
You suggested that in my head. I'm like, I ain't fucking winning. Sure.
That's why you said, sure.
Sure, buddy.
That's what you did last month when I said Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Stop shitting on my good taste.
Your taste got shitted on.
Shitted upon.
Shitted upon.
I wanted to get dicked on, but it got shitted on.
No one would ever get dicked.
That's a different poll.
That's true. Dick has no place near Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yeah. And remember, this is your last week to order your Last of Us t-shirts on the store because at the end of this week, they're gone.
Yeah.
It will no longer be Tony time. There'll be no more pills, baby.
But also, thank you to everybody who already bought merch.
Yeah.
It was a lot of you, and we really, really appreciate the support. And also hope that you love the items that you got. And thank you to West River Printing for all their help in establishing that store. All the thank yous. We don't say enough, even though we say it a lot, but still not enough to accurately describe how much we love you guys. So thank you for listening. If you made it this far, that's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the try before deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the Chocolate Pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis. Maha Axholt, I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sunny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst. Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yopst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burick, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Taj Allah and Melissa Worcester. You know what old Tone used to shoot a Worcester back in his day? Or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Sniper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.